I went from you make me sick to, okay, what am I going to do so she don't make me sick anymore?
He's really not trying to be really hard with you. That's just the way you talk.
How do you submit to accountability without thinking that it's control?
Let me look at it through her eyesight instead of mine. But I know what I'm thinking, and it is not good. So by the time we grow up, you raise the man you didn't want to marry. The enemy knows if I can attack the relationship, I can mess up the money, I can mess up the marriage. So he'll take trauma and he'll say, hey, God didn't say you would really die.
That can make something catastrophic.
Not allowing the enemy to occupy the space. You're not welcome here.
How do you guys work on intimacy?
That's definitely one conversation that a lot of people veer away from. I'm not going to bring anything to the bedroom that will cause him to be able to still have fun without me being grateful.
I had expectations. Some of those were unrealistic.
I was serving the devil.
At the beginning of you guys' relationship, were you not?
I cannot even tell a lie. I didn't even know God.
Take me through there. I need to know.
She will open the Bible. About two verses in, I could sleep.
God, how you want me to be speaking prayers over this man right now when he just talked out his neck?
You can't look at what it looks like. You have to look at what God said. Marriages fail because of the lack of...
What's going on, guys? My name is Jessica Lane McDonald, and I want to welcome you guys back to another episode of Hardly Initiated. Okay, so guys, today we are taking it back to the Potter's House, and it's not just the name of a church. It's literally a picture of what every marriage becomes over time, because in the hands of a potter, nothing is wasted. Pressure doesn't mean destruction. It literally means shaping, okay? And breaking does not mean the end. It means rebuilding with intention. And over more than 30 years of marriage, our guests for today, who are also pastors at the Potter's House, are living proof of what it looks like when two people stay together long enough to be formed, not just found. Pastor Don and Phaedra Johnson, how are you?
We are good.
I'm so excited to be here. Listen,
I love it.
Thank you so much. And I'm so excited to be present with you guys. You know, you guys are the founders of the Marriage Keys.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get into that conversation. Because we've talked about the singles a couple of times on this podcast. But to get into marriage, I think is going to be something that's so profound.
Yeah.
So I'm really ready for today's conversation. Y'all, they've been married for over 30 years. Okay. 31 to be exact. And it's truly beautiful. Especially because some people are married for a long time just to say that they were married that long.
Right.
But one thing I know to be true about you guys is that you guys are living in love still, and you guys like each other.
Like, I like him for real.
I'm cool hanging out with her. Like, I'm cool. Like, this is my girl. Let's go.
What's the secret? Let's start there. What's the secret?
Tell me, babe. As you know, I wake up and he leaves the house sometimes, and then he just keep coming back. So what's
she cooking? No, I'm joking. I don't know if there's just one pinpoint secret. The natural answer would be keep God in it. That's sure. just the all sure. natural answer. I probably would say be intentional with it. Yeah. The one mistake I believe marriages make is that during a wedding, we say I do one time. When you really should say, I do every day.
Absolutely.
When I wake up in the morning, I do.
Absolutely.
Good days, bad days, sickness or unhealth, I do every day. Monday morning, Tuesday morning. So it's being intentional about that. And knowing it's about, I love being married. I love the art of it. I love, and again, this is just me personally. I love doing the assignment that God has given me.
Absolutely.
I love it.
I'm going to do your assignment, babe.
And I don't mean anything bad about it. Assignment meaning if you want to be spiritual, to say, okay, this is the task that God has given me. Be the best at that task that he gave you.
Sure.
So be intentional with it.
I totally agree about being intentional because, you know, disagreements happen. We call them having difficult discussions, not arguments.
Wait a minute. We have never had an argument.
Ever.
Ever.
We've been in 31 argument. Years. That's beautiful.
We had a bunch of difficult discussions.
Difficult discussions. So it's like on the days when you feel like he's not as lovable, I need to love him even more. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we forget that. Instead of coming together when challenges happen, we pull apart. But if you're intentional about it, when I wake up in the morning saying, okay, God, what wife would you have me to be for Don Johnson today? Like, what is it that you would like to use me to do to bless him? And not waking up saying, ooh, what are you going to do for me today? You know, it's just a mind shift, not the way we think about things naturally in the world about what I'm going to get, but what am I able to receive? Well, not what I'm going to receive, but what I'm able to actually give to him.
It's truly submitting to each other.
Absolutely.
That's the most important thing.
That's the scripture. That's the one thing that we take out of context. We say, why submit yourself to husband? Well, the verse before that says, submit yourselves one to another.
Yeah.
Whatever that vision is, whatever that goal is. And I try to make sure we model that in front of people. Like, hey, we have bad days, but you can make it through that. And being that consistent model, I think that's one of the things that we try to make sure we strive to do. And I please get this. It is not, every day is not perfect.
No.
But every day is intentional.
So I want to go back to something that you guys just said that was very imperative for me, because my parents have been married 40 years and I've never seen them have an argument either. Now, when you guys say difficult discussions, obviously there are times where you will disagree, but I do believe that in communication, conflict can actually bring you guys together opposed to apart.
Right.
So what are some ways that you guys practice that? And then also, communication.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure in that the reason that it didn't turn into arguments because tone was checked.
Yes.
Okay. You guys watched and monitored how you communicate.
Right.
So talk a little bit about that.
Well, he's a lot bigger than me, right? So when we're having difficult discussions, I mean, we have that pretty much mastered now, let's say in that space for sure. But because he's taller than me, broader, deep voice, I'm like, you know, I think I'm going to need you to sit down. I don't want to tell the people that I was scared. Or your voice is so deep, and I know that's your manly voice. I get that. But the bass, could you just take a little bit of it out of your voice? So I appreciate
is that
over time.
Saying?
Like, seriously.
I love that.
Yeah, and I appreciate
it. I'm going to try that. My husband sits, and I need to say, babe.
I'm from New York, so I don't count. I'm from New York.
Listen, not only is he from New York, his mama was Italian, okay? In New York.
Yeah.
I'm from the South.
Yeah, see.
Georgia Peach.
See.
My mama from Alabama and my dad from North Carolina. I'm not used to loudness. I'm very meek and like Southern Belle type.
Yes.
And then the first... Whoa.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. That's amazing.
What? Yeah, you said it's amazing?
No, because it's two contrasting differences.
It's very
because I'm laughing because she was the same way and I was totally opposite. Wow. So I was kind of like him. Like, I was always loud. My family's loud. Spades. Yes. We were loud. I mean,
Spades.
Everything was loud.
Exactly.
Like, everything. The barbecue was loud.
Loud.
Every day was Friday at my grandmother's house. We were always loud.
Oh, my God.
So that was common for me. So while you think we're loud, to us, it's normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not an attack. It's not and I would tell her, like, I'm not attacking you. This is, I'm trying to communicate.
I'm like, but you sound very aggressive right now.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm feeling a little threatened. So I want you to not talk like that.
That's why I asked, is that what you would actually say?
Because sometimes I often
say to him, like, why are you yelling?
Mm-hmm.
Like, can we not talk without yelling? But then he's like, I'm not yelling. And then I'm like,
he's not.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, in the beginning, he would say sometimes, like, I'm not yelling. I'm like, okay. So for me, the sound that's coming out of your mouth seems a little bit louder than normal. But what I appreciate is when I bring that to his attention, say, okay, sometimes he's going to be funny with it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to talk like this. It's like, okay, whatever we need to do, just as long as it's not on 10.
You want to know when I realized that he really wasn't yelling? Is that when we had our first son, he had the same octave as the baby was sleeping. And I said, oh, you really don't have an inside voice.
No.
And to be honest, where we are now, it didn't start that way because in our early years, I spent a lot of time defending it because you were taking away my character, who I was. So me trying to say, hey,
come on.
Are you trying to take away from me?
I don't mean to cut you off, but I the claps that he just gave in the back.
I call it the amen call.
I literally feel like this podcast about to turn into a therapy session.
For real.
So that's my amen corner. But here's the thing about it. So I had to step back and look and say, okay, Don, PD, she didn't grow up in your ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So now here's the catch. The women in my family were loud.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, I didn't see the difference as male, female. It was just this, the way we talked to each other. So I expected her to be like them. Hey, you need to get in the conversation. So she would back away from the conversation. I'm like, no, what are you doing? Well, my family didn't do that. So it wasn't gender-based. It was my ecosystem. So I had to realize, okay, she didn't grow up in my ecosystem. I shouldn't have to force her to abide by the rules of an ecosystem she didn't grow up in. Vice versa, on the other side, I didn't grow up like her.
Right.
So when she would say, hey, I need you, I'm like, ah, that ain't really who I am. And I think those narratives, we kept talking about them and talking about them and talking about them. It's like, okay, you know what? Let's find a happy medium. Mm-hmm. So if she would say, hey, I feel you kind of getting, I feel a little loud. I was like, oh, okay, my bad. Because mm-hmm. at that stage, my volume is important. My content is.
Right. Right.
Because
right.
I need you to hear what I'm saying. Right. Like, if I'm offended, I need you to hear, hey, I'm offended by what you just said. And I don't need my volume blocking
mm-hmm. yeah.
my content.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
it became then that wrestle, okay, Don, what's more important? Her changing your character or your content being heard?
Yeah.
And it was
like, I can't even hear the words that you're saying
yeah.
because of the way you're saying them.
Yeah.
Like, it's so.
Absolutely.
And I play sports. So.
Right. Or I would say, I'm not your homeboy. I mean, I'm your homegirl, but I'm not like the guys on the street or the guys on the field. And I understand that's the space that he was accustomed to operating in. But I'm really thankful for the change because we are both alphas, right? So I know that in order for me to be in this soft space mm-hmm. that I know I need to be in and stay in, mm-hmm. I just need you to kind of modify that just a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to rise up and feel like I got to protect myself, because that's what I hear
yes.
when you're screaming or talking mm-hmm. so dogmentative is the way it would come across to me. Absolutely. Not his intent,
absolutely.
But that's the way I heard it.
It was never my intent. It was never my intent. It's just, when you're so used to doing something, it's a pattern. Yeah. And I would say this to anyone, in our clients, anybody, sometimes be careful when you normalize your dysfunction.
Yes.
Because you'll think it's functional in normality. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then that causes a problem.
Come on.
Because you've been dysfunctional for so long, you think this is normal.
Hello.
So when you introduce into a new normal, you think the other person the problem and not you.
Mm-hmm.
So I would always take a self-evaluation of looking back, okay, what is this? Let me look at this. Okay, just because you grew up this way, I like put it this way. Just because you're distressed, that don't mean you're right.
Correct.
I'm distressed about it. Well, that doesn't make yeah. you right. It's just kind of figure out, okay, let me what's gonna cause me to get the best outcome out of
that's
this?
That's wisdom.
Yeah. So it is growing it and doing it. I mean, it's still trying to get it right. It's not like we perfected it.
Because what I will say is I'm thankful to God for showing me the times that I need to give him grace and our conversations about giving him grace, because yeah. I understand that your heart is not to be aggressive in your tone. Yeah. So those times when it does come out and you're not monitoring it, I have to hear with a different ear, the ear of love that says, he's really not trying to be really hard with you. That's just the way he talks.
Yeah. So let me ask you guys this. So when you think about like the first 5 years compared mm-hmm. to where you guys are now, what is the biggest like mindset shift? What is the biggest mindset shift that you guys had to probably unlearn
mm-hmm.
in order to get to where you guys are now in your marriage?
That's a good question. Wow.
For me, I feel that once I was off on my own, I took care of myself very well, for sure. I mean, even in the home, being the oldest of the girls, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like I did well for myself. So when we got together, I had my own car, my own place, my own money, blah, blah, blah. And now that we are together and married, I have to listen to you tell me what to do with my life.
Mm.
When I've been running it just fine before he got here.
Mm.
That was a huge adjustment for me, not being in control of myself.
Hmm.
You know, if I'm really trying to submit to the vision, right?
Tell the truth.
Follow the man of God. That was a huge adjustment for me. Not that, I think in the beginning, I don't even know that I really gave it the space to say, will he lead me well? All I know is I'm leading myself well and this works. Now, I got with him for sure because I love him a lot, but he's a builder. So I know that we can build together. Whatever it is, we're going to build it together. But just to allow him to say, lead us in its totality, it's like, but I was doing good with that. Why do I have to relinquish my stand? So once I began to recognize what that looked like, you can't have two heads in the house. Anything with two heads is a beast, right?
Mm-hmm.
It made me step back and kind of reevaluate and chart a different path, which took a lot of working on me with God. I don't need your laughing and your lot, right? Because God had to show me how to use my strength to be soft.
Mm.
I would probably say that I'm not single anymore.
Well, amen for that.
Because I never had real accountability. I never really had to answer anybody.
This is so true.
Yeah. Like,
and they would let him do whatever he wanted to do.
Never, whether it was friends, girlfriends, there was never really like accountability. All be, kind of because of who I did and what I had done in life.
Ooh, hold on. Because how do you have accountability? How do you submit to accountability mm-hmm. without thinking that it's control?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is mm-hmm. a difficult question.
Great question.
Because learning the difference between the two will shorten the time of yeah. problems. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because accountability is easy answer now, but I'm trying to answer for the 20-year-old me mm-hmm. that never was accountable to anybody, mm-hmm. that thought accountability was control. You're not going to know what time I come home. I get there when I get there. Mm-hmm. Why are you asking me where am I? I get it when I get home. Just don't call me. I got to call you every 10 minutes, tell you where I am. Mm-hmm. We're not doing that.
I remember 30 years ago
yeah.
saying to you, oh, so they just let you do whatever you want to do.
Yeah,
that's not going to work.
And it was,
how's he gone for the whole week and you don't know where he is?
Yeah.
That's not gonna work.
It was difficult because I wasn't used to that. Like mm-hmm. I'm a grown man. Like I'm a grown man. You're not finna pattern where I am, where so I had to take a long look of, okay, you know what? Let me look at it through her eyesight instead of mine. Let me see what is she thinking as opposed to what I'm thinking. Because I know what I'm thinking, and it is not good at all. So I think once I learned accountability, okay. You have somebody you have to look after. Vice versa, they're looking after you. You have someone you're concerned about. Vice versa, they're concerned about mm-hmm. you also. So it was more of those, okay, I need to be held accountable a little more. And I think the more I got into that, the more I felt less of control, because sometimes control can be seen as mothering. It can be seen as, okay, you don't have power over me. And I think sometimes giving over control is a good thing. I want someone in control when I'm out of control.
That's yeah. right. But why don't men in the early years look at that just as respect? Like, no different. What? Where is the double standard? Like, why is it a double standard? Because so many men will leave and do whatever they want, but let the woman go.
Mm-hmm.
The man will be calling, where you at?
But I don't know if it's a double standard. And if I say this, please, y'all, before y'all jump on me, please hear me before
okay,
I say
okay, because you know the comment section.
I know it's coming. I know it's coming. Please hear my entire statement.
Yeah, hear his heart, guys.
Hear my entire heart. By the time we're grown, it's too late.
Yes.
We learned it growing up. Yes. You let us do what we want to do. You told the girl she can't go. You let the boy go. He could do it. The sister couldn't do it. So she learned accountability early. Sure. She learned sure. how to take care. She learned all. But us growing up, oh, let him go. Let him climb the stairs. Let him do this. Mm-hmm. At the same time, he's learning, okay, I ain't got to be accountable. Mm-hmm. I can jump off this mm-hmm. without fear of what's going to happen to me.
Well
so
said.
We grow up not truly being held accountable because we can do it. We have twins for grandkids. One's a boy, one's a girl.
Mm-hmm.
They're treated totally different.
Yeah.
Totally different. He gonna learn, she gonna do this. And by the time we get 20, 30 years old and we play sports, we've done this, you come in, sister gotta come in earlier, the sister gonna come in, the daughter's gonna come in at 11, the son gonna come in at 12. No, there's always been this double standard. So by the time we grow up, here's my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You raised the man you didn't want to marry.
That is true.
Wow.
That's what he would tell me all the time wow. about our sons. That's do not so raise the man.
Don't raise the man you don't want to marry.
Marry.
Mm-hmm. That's so deep.
Because you're looking out for him. You're doing this. And sometimes I would tell her, let him fall. He'll be okay. Mm-hmm. No, I need him to learn accountability. No, he needs to be accountable to this.
Yeah.
And it wasn't me being father for present. It was me being father for future, mm-hmm. because I know what I went through. I didn't want to be accountable to anybody. Like, no, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm a grown man. And I would echo that. The problem I did not know is anytime you have to announce it, it's not truth.
That's good.
I'm the man of the house. Well, you're no longer the man of the house. Because you announced it.
Hold on. Come on now. Anytime you have to announce it, it's not true.
Because why are you walking in the house beating your chest saying, I'm the man of this house?
Things that's understood don't need to be said.
Come on.
I don't. But this is.
You about to take me back to a real touch up on the year, like. Yes.
But these are the things that over the years that we've learned. Like, it's not like, I don't understand that, oh, they just got it. No. These were bumps and bruises and scars and models. And how do we put this together? How do we do this together? Okay, let's go back and revisit this. I cannot tell you how many times we had repeat conversations. Yeah. I say, okay, when you say this, are you really saying or what are you really saying?
Right.
So
this is what
you learned from it.
What did you
mean? This is what I said.
This is what I just did you to say. Yeah. What did you mean? Yeah. Yeah. And I think for sure, given that space and allowing you to restate what you really did say, no, that's not what I said.
Please let me restate.
Or, oh, I'm sorry I came across that way, but this is what I really meant. That has saved us so many times.
And I can say that was saved. When I say something, by the time it reaches her ears, she's going. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. That's not what I said.
Yeah.
But that's what it sounded like to me. Okay, repeat to me what you thought you heard me say. Mm-hmm. When it sounded like, oh, no. Give me the grace to replay that again. Mm-hmm. What I was really trying to say was, because I didn't know you heard that way. Right. Because most of us hear and see through the lenses of filters that have been altered by our experiences.
Correct.
It's like, okay, so pain causes you to hear that. All right, let me speak to that. Because I want to attack the issue and not the character.
Yes.
Never
the last experience.
Yes.
Is really what I'm thinking about when you made this statement this time.
Yeah. And I don't mean that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean that. I generally don't hold on to things. Like, I'm like, man, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm done with it.
Yeah.
So I don't carry over to the next one.
Right.
Yeah. But if my voice sounds like I'm careful to the next one, I don't want you to ever think that.
Yeah. Because I'm like, are you going to be mad today? Are you going to be mad all day today? I think one day he came in the house, something happened in the garage, and I was just bothering him because Elf is one of my favorite movies. I said, oh, you're an angry elf.
I fell out laughing. And I was furious. I was mad at something. She said, oh, you the angry elf today. I thought about, I said, this lady crazy.
But, you know, even if he gets upset, and this might seem so cheesy, but I'm like on his face or trying to kiss him or, you know, you want to kiss me. You know, you want to talk to me. Come on, let's dance. You know, we want me to sit in your lap. You know, just not allowing the enemy to occupy that space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you're not welcome here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I look at it as conflict when it gets to the place of toxicity.
Yep.
It's like a demonic spirit.
It is
there.
That's
not even you. It's not you, and it's not your partner. Mm-hmm. It's literally like a demonic spirit overtaking your partner. And I've had to check myself when it comes to like situations that me and my husband have been in. And I, as he's speaking, I'm like, "That's not even you right now." So I'ma just let this set down, settle a little bit, and then we can let's really regroup. And think about, what are we even saying right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is this even an issue?
Right.
What are we even talking about?
Yeah. Right.
Because sometimes it's so minute and it's just a tone or a change in behavior or just a little tweak, a misunderstanding that you guys just kind of went over that can make something catastrophic opposed to peace.
Right? And if we don't stop and have the mindset to pause, so just one scripture, it says, for we battle not against flesh and blood. So in other words, the battle is not against her.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
It's what are triggers?
Mm-hmm.
What is the trauma? Because
mm-hmm.
there's something associated with that. So if it's your tone, if it's your demeanor.
Warfare.
Right.
Not carnal, but they're mighty through God from the pulling down of strongholds. So you got it. So,
Come on. Yes. You're like in a church when it's in the order.
Don't get me started because I can go there too now. But that spiritual alignment is so true that it actually takes place naturally in your whole home in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
God gives us the blueprint.
Yeah.
He say, listen, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal,
mm-hmm.
but it might be from the pulling down of strong. Mm-hmm. And it says, everything that exalts itself against another. Right. Okay, what is trying to put itself against what you know?
Right. Come on.
Think about it this way. I said something, I could have said, hey, I didn't like the way you did that. She wasn't concerned about what I said. Mm-hmm. My tone could have been something that she heard through a filter of hate.
Yeah.
That he go again, talking like he doesn't like me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now we're gone.
Yeah.
So now here's what happens. Yeah. This is what happened when the enemy introduces a conversation to Eve in the garden.
Right. Yes.
Surely you will not die.
Yes.
Right.
If you eat this. Surely. Yes. And the Bible says, and when she saw it was good.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So in other words, if he can talk to you long enough till you see different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now I'm engaged with the conversation with him. Mm-hmm. And I'm mad at her.
Yeah.
So she's getting the byproduct of my conversation with him.
Yes.
And it gets worse and it gets worse. And by the time we don't like each other, we hate each other.
I really hope the audience did not just let that go over their head. Because when I tell you that was so deep.
It is. It is really what it is. It's the heartbeat of us.
It is.
It's the heartbeat of it. Just think about it this way. Imagine one of the things that most companies, corporations, churches, that we talk about everything, money, finances, stock market, ETFs, land, real estate. But there is one thing that touches all of those, and that's relationship. One thing, you could have a real estate portfolio and not have anything to do with stocks, but you could have stocks and real estate, but I guarantee you're in a relationship with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So relationship has something to do with everything. So the enemy knows if I can attack the relationship.
Right. Amen.
I can mess up the money. I can mess up the marriage. I can mess up whatever that thing is. I can mess up the childhood. So he'll take trauma and he'll say, hey, God didn't say you would really die.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really say you would die. Mm-hmm. Did he? Oh, but now you see that it's good. So we can engage with conversations with people, things, situations, the past that now takes away from our future and our presence, because we don't stop and say, okay, right now, Jessica, right now, Phaedra, right now, Don, are you arguing with the old you?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you talking to the enemy?
Mm-hmm. And you have to be so intentional about being present in the conversation with the enemy. This is going to sound crazy, but when he is saying, oh, he's saying this about you, and he said, you have to intentionally say, no, he's not. Now, maybe he did that 10 years ago, but that's not what he's doing today. Mm. And I know that to be the truth, because look at when he did this and this and this and this, because the devil's trying to come with his facts. Remember he said, but I have some remember he said as well. I've gone to him at times when I'm sitting there and it's like the enemy's just saying craziness to me. And I'm like, babe, I just want to tell you what he's saying and I need you to give me information to refute that.
No. So he would tell me this.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling me that you don't love me.
Yeah.
He's telling me that you don't care. Like he's telling me these things and it's echoing in my head over and over. And the problem is, so it's called a replacement theory. Mm-hmm. If I don't replace those seeds, it has the right to grow.
It has the right to grow. Hold on.
It has legal ground to grow.
No, we got to stay right there. We got to stay right there for a moment, because I don't want people to miss that.
Yeah.
Because it's so important, because some things that men do in the earlier years is become dismissive towards that, and then start to think that you are just being, what's the word I'm looking for? Insecure.
Yeah.
She tripping and dismiss it, opposed to what you just said that you did, is come up against those and start speaking positive to refute.
And some of that stuff, I'm sorry for cutting you off, and some of that stuff, I did it. Okay, so most people are looking at now the roses of bed that we're living in now, what I understand the thorns that were created earlier. So some of this stuff, not all of it, but some of this stuff.
Probably all, but go ahead. We'll go along with stuff.
Yeah, no.
50% she did, 50% I did.
Well, no.
And so you can't be dismissive. And I'm going to say this. The 50% I did, I'm responsible for.
Yeah.
The 50% she did, I'm responsible for.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Say it again. Because you are the leader. Because you are the leader.
I'm the covering.
Again.
You're the covering.
I'm the covering.
And sometimes the woman may not have even articulated. Oftentimes a woman is articulating and literally reacting to the stuff that men do.
Absolutely.
And then the men are mad at how the woman is acting towards the thing that they did, opposed to not their behavior of what they did in the first place.
So I'm gonna give you scripture. Now this is what helped me.
On.
So this is what helped me. Do I always get it right? Absolutely not. Still get it wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
This is good though. That thank you. So this scripture that helped me. And so the Bible says life and death in the power of the tongue.
Mm. Yeah.
And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Yeah.
So we generally stop there. But if you read further, it says your belly shall be satisfied by the words that come out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. And we generally stop there. Mm-hmm. But it says, the man that findeth the wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor from God. Well, God is not dyslexic. Those scriptures have to be tied together. The word findeth literally means ongoing. So ETH. So a man can't be finding a wife. So wait a minute. If he's not finding a wife, what does it mean? So the word findeth literally means to carve it, to cut out. So it says he that carves and cut out a wife obtains favor from God because he does the same thing that God does in Genesis. He creates a wife. However, what you create is based off what you said a few verses earlier. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So what you speak and say to her is what's going to fulfill your belly. So these were things that God was teaching me. He says, this is why I put you in charge, son, because I wanted you to create to be more like me. So what I say is what you're going to eat. So I went from you make me sick to, okay, what am I going to do so she don't make me sick anymore? Right. Okay. Right. So now I don't like you. It goes, I don't like you to, okay, God put me in a mindset to where I do like her and now help me speak that I like her. Right. Help me to see your daughter, how she's your daughter.
Hello.
So it's like, okay, so now I got to see her flaws as a piece of the painting. Mm-hmm. I got to see her flaws as the potter's house. Mm-hmm. I got to see her flaws as... And at the same time, I got myself got to deal with my own issues. Because here's the thing. And God told me, but don't depend on her to help you with yours. Now, she does do it. Mm-hmm. But what it taught me was, okay, I got a soul responsibility. I got to hang on this cross and die, even when people stabbing me in the side. I got to hang on this cross and die, even when I haven't done anything wrong. So it taught me the pattern of, this is hard. Being a man is hard. Being a man is difficult. Mm-hmm. So whatever reaction she's given me is either based off something I did or she did.
Yeah.
Am I a king size sheep or am I a twin size sheep?
That's right.
I got to be big enough to cover her.
Yeah.
So what am I going to do in this? But I didn't learn that just in a relationship though. I learned that with my sons. I learned that when I was a pastor of the church because I was senior pastor for 17 years. So these are things that I learned over time. And it did. Please hear me. Audience, hear me. This did not happen overnight.
Right.
This did not happen in a year time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This took years of finding mentorship.
Yeah.
This took years of like, okay, all right, Don, I can't keep living that life and be happy. Mm-hmm. I wanted a progressive, growing, successful marriage to model in front of people because God said that's your assignment.
Yeah.
He says, okay, you got to go through the wilderness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's the path you got to take.
Yeah.
But I'm going to show you because I'm going to talk to you. Yeah. And so those just became habits of intentionality. Mm-hmm. All right. Here we go. And I said this was going to be, I did not tell you.
You said it, but you can't help it. But you know what I appreciate? I noticed a major difference when he got closer with God. Major difference. So my prayer had to be strategic. God continue to mold him into the man that you would have for him to be. Not mold him into the husband that I want him to be.
Hold on, stop. Say that again.
I have a question.
Yes.
So you said that you noticed a big difference when he got closer to God.
Absolutely.
At the beginning of you guys' relationship, were you not close to God? No? Yes or no?
He knew there was a God.
Okay. So let's get up in it.
We don't have time for the real story.
Yes, we do. Take me through there. Take me through there. I need to know. Because
so
let
she
me
is a heathen.
This. No.
And I was a revival preacher since I was 13 years old.
No. Let's take it back. Because I feel like you were always covered by God.
Yeah, no.
No?
Ma'am?
Which one?
So.
I'm sorry. So y'all found God together.
Well, I was in
she
church.
First.
Thank you.
Okay.
She first. I was.
Was, you know, serving the devil.
I had a job. It was untaxable. Pharmaceutical.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So what is the
daily?
Let me just go back then. So basically at the point in which you guys started your relationship, there were clearly a lot of things that you had to grow through. In the beginning stages, because oftentimes women are closer to God than their counterparts.
Absolutely.
Right. Than their husbands. And so in that, what does the covering look like that a woman has to have to pray over her man for him to finally come into that alignment with God? Because oftentimes, even the worst, let me not even say even the worst is this, but we're supposed to be equally yoked.
Mm-hmm. You want me to walk off this interview? Because this is going to turn into her interview. Because I cannot even tell a lie. I didn't even know God. I knew there was a God.
Yeah. And when did you get close to God?
After we got married. Probably maybe a year or two after we got married.
Mm-hmm. What did that walk look like?
So I'm going to tell you a story.
Please tell me the story.
So
did you open your Bible?
I didn't have a Bible.
Oh, that's a whole nother
story. Let's go
through all of it. Sidebar.
Hold on, let me tell you what she used to do. No, I'm going to tell it. Oh, I'm going to tell it. Here's what she used to do. This is God. So we, before we got married, of course, I'm living my life, trying to sleep with her, doing my thing. And so we made this vow. Hey, she was like, I want to live for God. Mm-hmm. Cool. You gonna live for God.
Did you hear that?
Stop you from living for God.
You gonna live for God. You hear that?
I'm not gonna stop you. You live for God, man. You're not gonna make me buzz hell open because I stopped you from living for him. No, you do him. I'm gonna do me. We're good. And, I would be in the house and she would be sitting and she'd say, hey, let's read the Bible together. I was like, well, I kind of got something to do. She was like, okay, before we go to sleep, can we read the Bible together? I said, okay, go ahead and read it. We'll read it together. She will open the Bible about two verses in. I go to sleep.
And he...
I'll be knocked out. So she literally, come to find out years later, she closed the Bible,
like
I wanted to have sex.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like about an hour later.
But you was just asleep.
But I had a nap. I had a nap. It was a good power nap.
You sleep while I read the verses.
But what I found out was, while I was asleep, she still was reading scripture.
Absolutely. Come on, that subconscious program.
I didn't know. Like, I thought it was a joke, but I would find my clothes in the laundry room. They had, like, little oil spots on them. Like, what is this?
Yes, ma'am.
Y'all would wake up in the morning like,
yes, ma'am.
What's this on my forehead?
Listen.
Like, I didn't understand. But then I think later.
Right.
I'm not joking.
No. But I learned later.
Yeah.
I learned later God had sent her on a mission because I had an assignment. Mm. But I didn't fully understand the assignment. Mm. I needed somebody to help birth me into the assignment.
Sure. My God, today.
I remember in our first house when I would hear the garage go up.
Watch this.
I would go get oil, put oil on my lips. And when he come in the door, hey, babe. Put a little drops in the washing machine. Watching something like literally.
Yeah.
Like, I have opened the front door and kicked my foot out the door, like kicking the devil out of the house. If the neighbors were watching, they would say, this lady is crazy. Let's say you can't live up in here.
But I had done so much. And again, we all have different lifestyles, different testimonies. So like church wasn't a thing. Like my mama knew God. I mean, my mama thought did their best they could. But it was like a ongoing thing, religion. I respect them. Never nothing against them. As a matter of fact, a long time ago, God bless her, she's going home with the Lord. This lady used to come and interrupt our employment, wanting to pray for us on the corner. We would run from her. Like, man, this lady crazy. Yeah. Not really understanding the assignment that God would have in my life. Oh, if I told you like my real testimony, I am the living, breathing God has a sense of humor.
When we go back to college,
no, not anymore. Because
not anymore.
Yeah,
but in the beginning stages, they would look and say, "Who say? Die say? Oh, there is a God."
I get messages. Hey, man, you think about backsliding? Come see me. Mm-hmm. Like it was a whole thing. Like because I got so to know how I drastically got pulled away from the life I was living. It was like a complete cold turkey. Like it was a hard stop for me. Yeah. Like I just knew I was gonna die, and it was like if you keep doing, you're gonna die. And I was gonna keep doing. I was cool. If I had lived to see 30, I had a good life.
Right.
If I had lived to see 30 years old, life was grand. Because I didn't really know anybody that kind of lived beyond that threshold. And after a while, I started thinking like, you know what? I think God made me call you to do something different. But I couldn't explain to nobody. I didn't know who to say that to because I wasn't in church. And then her mother, I love that lady today. Mm-hmm. Her mother said, baby, it's just in the kitchen. Something's on you. I don't know what this something is. I don't know about the Holy Ghost. Like, this lady crazy. All I know is she can cook. She said, baby, something on you. I want you to start coming to my church. And especially if you're going to date my daughter. Uh-huh. I want you to start coming to my church and just come. I'll cook for you every day. Mm-hmm. That lady cooked for me every single
day. My mom cooked Sunday dinners day. Every day.
Every day. And I would just go drive over to the house. Not knowing, I play my Tupac, play my Biggie. I get up there, turn it down because I ain't want to disrespect the mama. Turn it back up when I'm leaving. But I didn't know, fully understand like this whole assignment thing. Mm-hmm. And then I asked God one day, like, hey, why you? I got all the people you could have saved, got to do this preaching, traveling across the world. Why? Like me. Like, why did you pick me up? Heck, you could have picked her for anybody. Like, why me? He gave me this answer that I'll never forget. He said, I picked you because you were faithful to sin. Mm-hmm. I said, what? He said, because I knew if you were faithful to sin, you'd be faithful to me. Mm-hmm. It's like, got it.
Say that again.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
That. Oh, and I was, I was faithful to sin.
Faithful. Oh, you know, this is a good place to just insert for
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, on Hardly Initiated, we talk a lot about leveling up financially, mentally, and spiritually, but there is a reality that we have to face. Financial stress can affect us way more than we realize. It's not just about what's in your bank account. It's about the toll that money worries can take on your mental health and your relationship. In fact, at the start of 2026, roughly 88% of Americans reported feeling some form of financial stress. It brings on anxiety, it disrupts your sleep, and for many couples, it's one of the leading sources of conflict. I've realized that struggling with money or feeling overwhelmed by it doesn't mean that you failed. Sometimes it's about the beliefs we grew up with or just trying to figure it all out on our own. It's something important to remember that therapy isn't for financial advice. It's for managing stress, shame, or anxiety that comes with those financial hurdles. It helps you unpack your relationship with money and build healthier coping strategies so you don't feel alone in the process. What I appreciate about BetterHelp is that they make the process of finding support simple. They have over 30,000 therapists who are fully licensed in the United States and follow a strict code of conduct. When you sign up, you'll fill out a short questionnaire, and their therapist match commitment means that they do the work to find the right fit for your specific needs and goals. They've served over 6 million people globally, and if you ever feel like your match isn't quite right, you could switch to a different therapist at any time. When life feels overwhelming, therapy can help. Sign up now and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/HardlyInitiated. That's BetterHelp.com/HardlyInitiated.
Women that are single, like, I asked God so many times if this is who I was to marry. Now, I'm not saying if you already married and you didn't ask God, that means, okay, now. I get a do-over because I didn't ask him. No, I'm not saying that. But I asked him so many times and asked for signs and God, show me this and show me that. And are you sure? And blah, 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 blah. Because I wanted to make sure. But God was just very clear about the work that was going to have to go in to this relationship. He said, but now you're going to benefit. It's going to be real good. But at the beginning, you got a whole lot of work to do. And I understood that. I didn't know all of what the work looked like, but I gave God my yes to that. So even those times when it seemed like it got really, really rough, I just remember God saying, you told me yes, and just hold on, because that really, really good is coming.
So how do women have clarity in that? How do women truly discern that?
Yeah. So for me, this was back when Benny Hinn was really popular, because you're going back 30-something years now. Mm-hmm. And he would always say, pray and ask for signs and ask God to show you. I would be like, God, just show me a sign on the billboard. Let somebody talk about it that I don't know in the grocery store. Let somebody come up to us and say, ooh, y'all look like y'all should be married and they don't even know us. Or let me see it on a TV show. Oh, God, let me see a blue car driving. Literally, I was asking for everything, but I wanted to be so sure, God, in these quiet times, because I'm still yet learning your voice, right? I was younger. Just speak to me in any way that you know that I will hear you as a sheep hearing your voice to know that this is what you said.
I want to add a layer to that clarity, especially with these day and time. Mm-hmm. especially if anybody that's single, find yourself around people who are clear.
Absolutely.
That probably can see a little further than you.
Absolutely.
A coach, a mentor, a pastor, a leader, mm-hmm. and ask them.
Yeah.
Ask them, hey. Yeah. Because somebody got bad characteristics, they don't mean they're not meant to be a husband. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's things you got to work through.
So let me ask you that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, yeah. I don't want to cut you off, but sometimes, it's the fact that it's so many good points that I want to make sure I don't lose them, because it's 3 points ago that you said something. I'm like, dang, I can't even shift back to that.
Oh, I can shift with
you.
Go
ahead. Because I wanted to go back and ask you about the thorns, but we're going to stay here for a moment and then we're going to roll it back. So in regards to that, though, and in regards to the clarity, because as I just mentioned a few moments ago, when you're first entering into a relationship and you're supposed to be equally yoked and all of these different things, sometimes it doesn't come in that equal yoke form where you just mentioned that you can have, let's say, negative traits in a man. Mm-hmm. How does a woman know that she's supposed to see beyond that? Mm. And how long is she supposed to sacrifice peace for the assignment to manifest?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does she know that, is this worth my peace because it will get good in the end?
Right.
Am I equally yoked? Is this assignment, is it just me saying that I want to be married? So I get in this marriage and then my peace is sacrificed, or is this my assignment and I'm supposed to be walking into this and keep it for the long haul and just trust and believe that God is going to make a way?
I would probably start with, and this is anyone, because to me, sometimes the word can be, the Bible can be taken out of context. This, in some cases, that scripture says, it says, be not unequally yoked with the unbeliever.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about those who believe but don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's when that one phrase to establish if someone's going to be equally yoked after one date is almost impossible.
Not dating.
And I'm just saying just in general,
mm-hmm.
Because most people try to establish whether they're equally yoked after a year, after a marriage, it's hard to do that. Because there is no way to set precedence on whether we're going to equally yoked if God hasn't told you yes or no now. Because equally yoked has nothing to do with bad days. Equally yoked has nothing to do with, are we in the hard season of our life? We've had bad seasons in our life and still been equally yoked. We've had horrible seasons in our life.
So what's the definition of equally yoked?
The ability to let, now I'm going to be real churchy right here.
It's okay.
Okay.
This
the ability to let the Holy Ghost have his thumbs on it and not yours. Because to us, something can be totally unbalanced. I can walk up to a woman and say, there's no way in the world you could be going with that. But if God told her to go through it, she gonna make it.
That's right.
That's God got it.
Well, let me ask you this, because you said that in the beginning, you didn't know God.
Mm.
So how did you have the ability to know that the Holy Ghost was gonna have his hands on you if you didn't know God?
No.
He didn't.
So you weren't equally yoked then.
And that's why I say don't use the scripture.
Right.
Because we think it one way. God's like, y'all have no idea. Mm-hmm. 30 years from now, mm-hmm. I'm going to show you,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have the balance. She didn't. But with the Holy Ghost, mm-hmm. got his thumbs on it. Hey, Phaedra, keep on working.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be all right.
Yeah.
When Phaedra have a bad thing, hey, Don, don't worry about it. Phaedra going to work her day. Because if you had went from our origin, our beginning,
right?
Ain't no way we're supposed to be equal.
No
way possible she should have been my wife.
No.
Like, don't be the unbeliever. Y'all, they shouldn't be together.
God bless you.
Yeah, he blessed me real good. He blessed me real good because he blessed you. Now that. But that's why I try to tell people the equivalent to understanding. I have told mothers, please stop giving up on your son at 15 and 16 years old. Because you have no idea. If the people had given up on me at 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, I would not be who I am today. So to try to establish whether you're equally yoked now without and that's why I say without the Holy Ghost having his thumb on it, it's hard to say. A bad seasons. No, that's not.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. Let's stop. Let's dissect. Let's have somebody in our corner. How many marriages actually has a moderator?
Right.
How many actually, right. Hey, girl, you seeing this wrong.
Right.
Man, you seeing this wrong.
Yeah.
How many people you accountable to come and tell you, stop using God as a defense when your character needs to change?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so you clearly have evolved in your leadership from your 20s to your 50s, okay? Clearly. What is one way in which you show up now that you wish that your younger self would have known?
Mm. For me, I would say talk a lot less. Not that what I was saying wasn't important, because I know it wasn't important. It was important. But I don't know that with us blending together, he had the capacity at the time to hear all of what I'm saying, right? Mm-hmm. Because he's a leader in his own right.
Yeah, nice. I did not have the capacity. Mm-hmm. I was on sensory overload. You were talking too much.
It's like, he's a leader in his own right. I'm a leader in my own right. You know, I have ideas, I have concepts, I have things, blah, blah, blah. But just in the beginning stages, he wasn't ready to hear that. So God just teaches you how to be strategic with that. You know, he likes to say he's the head, but I'm the neck. You know, that's a whole joke, because the neck turns the head. But I can't give the cheat sheet on here. But God will teach you how to be strategic with.
I love it.
With the way you talk, with the way you handle things, you don't have to present it in an aggressive manner. It can be soft and gentle. It can be presented as an idea to see if he picks it up. And if he does and says, yes, let's lead in that direction, that's a great idea, babe. You know,
that you thought of.
Yeah, right. That you thought of. But he will give you ways to do that. So I would definitely say not talk as much. Even though what I'm feeling I'm saying is right, that might not have been the right timing to say that.
For me, I probably would tell me, get closer with God faster.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I probably would say develop that relationship faster.
Mm.
Because it was a slow, methodical one.
Mm.
And I didn't die. Yeah, it was real slow and methodical. But I probably would tell a younger me to dive into it, not pastoring, not ministering, not that, just the development of kind of who I am. Because there are things that I probably should have said earlier that I didn't know how to articulate that probably could have came across. I would tell her this way: don't bring me a steak on a trash can lid. I may have enjoyed your steak, but I'm not going to eat it because how you presented it to me. So I probably told me to get closer to God faster. That way, I got a little more wisdom on, okay, I saw what happened in her life. I know the father situation. I know this, okay, this is trauma for her. Maybe you can peel back a little bit more on this because it triggers trauma for her. So that's kind of for me. Yeah, faster.
That's good.
I wish I would have done it faster.
That's good.
I told you I like him a lot.
So funny.
That's good. No, that's so good. What advice would y'all have to, like, let's say a woman, and I don't mean to be redundant. I kind of touched on it earlier, but we never really had like a direct answer for this. What advice would you give to a woman that is covering her husband, where her husband has not yet came into that agreement with God as of yet?
Stay consistent.
Oh, gosh.
You can't look at what it looks like. You have to look at what God said. So everything else that's happening around you doesn't matter. He might come in that day with a bad attitude. He might not say goodnight before he goes to bed. He might talk to you with a curt voice. You can't look at any of that. You have to be focused on what God said and be consistent in that. Be consistent in praying every single day over him, over your family, over the house, operating in gentleness, kindness, meekness. The Bible talks about our character winning them.
You know the scripture.
With the conduct of your character, which is your speech, your talk.
Right.
You
the way that we act wins them over. I know that's kind of the opposite when you say it, because it's like, he's a leader, he's supposed to be winning me, blah, blah, blah. But none of that matters. If I could just not focus on anything he's doing, but stay focused on what God has told me to do, which is already listed in the Bible, right? If I could stay focused on that. But what happens most times is we'll try for so long, and we don't see the results, and then we stop.
But I also think women are emotional.
Oh, we are.
The ability to compartmentalize when you are supposed to be sowing and praying over your husband, opposed to he really just talked to me crazy, God. How you want me to be speaking prayers over this man right now when he just talked out his neck?
Mm-hmm. That it wasn't really him. Remember you said it earlier that it wasn't him? That wasn't him talking.
You're right.
It was like he said yes to the devil.
Yeah. Sometimes the emotional part will get you riled up in
it. There is something that we try to teach people. There are several things that you really don't get rid of. You learn to manage them. Mm-hmm. That's trauma and your emotions. Mm-hmm. Can't get rid of trauma. It's life. Mm-hmm. Your emotions, can't get rid of them. So you learn to manage your emotions. So managing your emotions is self-awareness. Okay, this is what's happening in my life. Here's where I am with my life. He said that. This sounded like this. She said this. This sounded like this. How do I manage that? One of the easiest things I probably can tell you to do is whether it's a wife, whether it's a male, just both male or female. You're not covering just their past and their future. I mean, their present. You're covering who he's becoming. So I'm not just praying for where he is. Mm-hmm. I'm praying for where he's going. Mm-hmm. And if God has trusted me enough to cover him or her for where they're going, that means there's something in me that I didn't know what was in. Mm-hmm. Which means there's some things I'll have to be able to handle. Mm-hmm. That other people won't be able to handle.
Yeah. So what happens when men say, marry me for me, don't marry me for my potential?
I tell him he doesn't understand what he's saying. Now, I'll be honest, I say, man, you don't understand what you're saying, because most of us men, we're now, you know, what can I do now? Well, football, NFL, not for long if you're not performing. What have you done for me lately? All of that. And oftentimes, we don't potentially think what's on the other side of the fence. We jump in the water without knowing there's rocks in the water. Let's just do it. So if he generally says, just marry me for me and not what I'm becoming, he's kind of missing his own potential too. Because evidently you see something in him that he didn't see in himself. So I'll probably say, nah, bro, you have potential. Don't ever tell a woman to marry you for just who you are. Marry you for what you're going to be too. We talk about in sickness and health. We talk about richer or poor. We always talk about poor, but we don't talk about the richer. I'll marry you for you being richer too. Right. I'll marry you for you. I'm marrying you for all of that. And retraining our thoughts, retraining our verbiage is important, especially for us as a community. Mm-hmm. It's like some of the stuff we have to unlearn. You have to unlearn. Your parents have been married 40 some odd years. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make a difference. Your husband is your father.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They have their ecosystem. You have your ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Same thing we try to train our sons. Listen, the women you meet, they're not your mother. So don't try to make them become her. Find a model. Let your mother talk to them. Find out how they grew up. Because you never know. They could have grew up in healthy, but now they're unhealthy. So all of that has to come into play when you talk about just covering somebody. And this is a lifetime thing.
It is.
This is... You talk about keys. This is a key that you keep on turning every single day.
Talk about the keys, since we on that real quick. Okay, let's talk about the keys because we're on that real quick. And then I still, before we finish this interview, I still want to go back to my thorn.
We're going back to the thorn. We're going back to the thorn.
But talk about the keys. So you guys have a book.
We do.
Yes. The 21 keys.
Yeah, for a better marriage.
Yes, yes. Break down, I would say, what would you say, each of you, what is your top key? What you would give to someone?
Ooh. Make sure you have healthy communication.
Mm.
Like, work at it daily. Just like you work out every day. Just like you're intentional about drinking water every day. Just like you strive to eat healthy every day. Work at it every single day. And work on you. Not only how I'm saying it, but how am I hearing it as well? It's that two-way piece. Because we could be working on how we're communicating, like what we're giving out. But it's so important to sit back and say, now, how am I listening to what he's saying? Am I listening to what he's telling me today through last week's discussion? Because maybe last week's discussion, I left that feeling a little unhappy. So today, what he's saying, I'm tying the two together. Just communication to me would be the top. Because with that, everything else falls up under it.
Now, for me, it's a little different. That is at the top of the list, but my top is kind of A and B. So we have a marriage key circle, and in that community, my conversation with men is the top thing is study your spouse.
Come on.
Study him. Study them like they're an opponent. Study them like you want to see her win. Because if she's going to win, she's going to need you to contribute to that.
Absolutely.
And what you don't want, one of the most frustrating things in the world, is to give me what I used to need.
That's right.
And if I didn't study to know that you changed it, I'm going to give you what you used to need. And it's going to birth frustration. So I would, whether you're a football player, basketball, you study film, I want to know, what are your likes in this season? How are you feeling in this season? You're like, because if I know how you're feeling in this season, then I'm going to know how to react in this season. I'm going to know, okay, it's that time. Okay, so, all right, my baby mad. Okay, so I'm gonna do something to make her happy. So all those things are important. I would say absolutely study them.
And you know how important that is, because we study anything else we want to learn. Like, right? We go to Google, YouTube, and anywhere else. But anything we want to learn, we study it. But sometimes we don't find ourselves studying each other.
And and even if you don't get the outcome you want just yet, know the seeds have been planted.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the seeds have been planted. But we're suffering from delayed gratification.
Yes. Yes.
We're living in this Insta, DM, everybody wants it now. You don't have to wait anything. That delayed gratification is real when it comes to God. God's like, I'm not Instagram. You plant a seed. The seed has to germinate. It has to go through a cycle. It has to be watered. It has to be in the right climax. It has to be in the right temperature. So you have to get back on that. And I think even you planted the seed, just sit back and watch it grow. That's kind of...
How do you study your partner?
So,
come on, babe, with a good question.
I think that's a great question.
I think that's a great question. Yeah. The question is, how do you study your partner? So for me, I break it down in movements. And I don't just mean movements as how you wake up in a day. Movements as in your swing. Okay, so when the kids are around, she acts this way. When the kids not around, she acts this way. Okay, when she's on the phone with her mother, she acts this way. When she's on the phone with her sister, she acts this way. Okay, last week when I said, oh, I knew it was going to be hard, she acts this way. So I'm learning it, when we have money.
You're collecting data.
Absolutely.
Yes, for sure.
I know. I want to know everything, how you react to it. I laughed when we talked about coming here, because I knew it was going to send her in a whole nother frenzy. Reason why I said it, because I knew it had other things. So she had already put in her head, okay, I'm going to wear this. I got this. I got this. And I knew we add another layer. She was like, wait a minute. Okay, so I'm going to add two more. So I sat there and waited. I was like, so I know it's going to take a little longer than normal, because I've studied.
Yeah.
This is what happens. Yeah. And she's not just studying me. Me, I could grab this sweatsuit. Dip go. But no, she's not going to do that. So I want to know from her hair, from what she's going to wear. I know when she walk out, God has blessed us with a beautiful home, but I know when she walk out, she's going to think something wrong with her. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing. So when you say how, it's that everyday effort.
Yeah.
It's everyday effort. Even when I don't feel like it, I know when we get in the car. You good? What was it? Was it the church? Was it the office? Well, you don't feel like cooking? Okay, we're going to stop and get something to eat. I know. Is it clothes at home? What I did? Or what I done did now? I'm going to say this, and I ain't let you two correct me if I'm right or wrong. When a woman does something to you, generally that's what she wants back to her. For a man, it's totally opposite. Just because we're doing it to you, don't mean we want it done back to us.
That's very important.
Just because I'm doing it for you, I'm not saying doing it to me.
How she is, I'm not.
But if she's saying, if she's going after you 100%, when she's all right, you got to go out there 100%.
Absolutely.
Both is generally, I don't care how many we coach, it's just the same. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So when you down, she's like, no, babe, no, you I got you. When she down,
absolutely.
That's what she wants.
She doesn't want you to just say, oh, it'll be all right. And then you move on.
Yeah, most women's actions are mirrors. They want it back. Yeah. And other side, if you're wrong, but us, now we different. Now you're if I do it for her, I'm not saying do that for me.
Right. Because when I study him, I study all the way down to just like recently, I'm like, oh, I think I hear some mucus in. You may want to take some cold medicine, or he looks like he's feeling a certain kind of way. Let me make sure he gets some extra tomatoes in his diet, or just making sure his testosterone is balanced out right. Or there's a certain type of smell that I know he likes in the house. Or he had grits and eggs yesterday, so he probably don't want grits and eggs today. But it's just those little things that I feel are important to you. I believe when you're studying me, you're looking for those things that you feel are important to me.
And I ask the question. Hey, when I do it back, hey, was that okay? You know, what is that what you were looking for? It, because I want to know. I don't want to keep assuming that I'm right. Right. With the assumption of I'm ignorantly doing this, it's not working. So I think that's always at the question at the end of it. So.
All right. So after decades of a relationship, right?
I'm still 25 a little bit. Go ahead.
The
math, don't worry, the math ain't math. Okay. It's okay. The math's not math.
3 decades. But after decades of a relationship, how do you guys work on intimacy? Like, is this something that you strategically cultivate?
You have.
Because I think that sometimes life can get in the way, especially as you start to put the babies there and then the businesses and then all of the things. How is it that you guys work on intimacy to make sure it's something that you're constantly pouring into?
Well, I might want to answer that question because I'm any time.
I know he's
anywhere.
You would think that we were like 19 again for real, but you have to be intentional. We schedule out so much, and I'm not saying schedule sex. But what I'm saying is we have so many things that we put as priorities on our plate, but we don't do that with intimacy. We'll check off the other things and it's like, oh, now I'm tired, so we'll push it off to another day. You have to be intentional. You have to be creative. You have to have conversations because over time, this many decades, what I used to like, what he used to like 30 years ago may not be the same. Mm-hmm. The way that we used to like it may not be the same. You may want to try something new. You may want to take something else off the table. And those conversations are so important. That's definitely one conversation that a lot of people veer away from. I don't know why. It's like, why are we embarrassed to have this conversation? If you don't like it like that anymore, say, I don't like that. Doesn't feel good anymore. This is how I really wish you would do it. Or, you know, like when you kiss me on my neck over here, like have those conversations, but definitely try something new consistently. And I would add, I'm not going to bring, this is me, anything to the bedroom that will cause him to be able to still have fun without me being present.
Come on, somebody.
I'll leave it at that.
So,
I'm gonna leave it at that. Leave it.
Like, are you referring to like, you know? I mean, I always go, you should say, you shouldn't be a saying. I don't promise to do it. Do me like, obviously, you should not open your marriage up to porn and all of the other things.
Not.
That's what
right.
you
I would.
Yeah,
not.
Absolutely.
And I would probably say, have the conversation because we all grew up different. So I lived a pretty cavalier life. We didn't ask for no amens.
Okay. I'm a hoe. He was outside. What?
I've been around the world.
A few times. Yeah. A few times. Whereas.
I was a rolling stone. That part.
Yeah. I had expectations. Mm-hmm. And in expectations, some of those were unrealistic.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how to do
it. And it wasn't fair. That's the assumption of assuming somebody can do what you wanted but never experienced what you experienced. So it was one of them, okay, let's talk about this. Like, let's have this because I want you to be satisfied. I want you to be happy, and I want to too. So let's talk about where you are, what you've done. Let's have this conversation. Because I want to be happy, and I want you to be happy. And I can't. The Songs of Solomon in the Bible says, don't open my love before time. And in most cases, most people open their love before time, which means you experience an appetite before getting involved.
Yeah.
Now we got to talk about what type of appetite you have.
Yeah.
Like, do I even have the ability to cook the meal you want?
And be honest, if you know that that's something that you can't do. Like, I told him at the beginning, I don't know how to do all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? That's their job. And they get paid well for that.
They get paid for that.
They get paid well for that. I don't know how to do all of that. But if you work with me, I'll learn. And, you know, now the student has become the teacher. But go ahead.
Yeah. I ain't even going to lie on that one. I'm not even going to lie. And I think even in the scope of what we do, it is always trying to model in front of people the holistic, balanced life of Christianity, family, husband and wife, still want to go out, still have a great time, still want to dance. Like, all of these things are possible. Mm-hmm. And God is pleased with that.
Yes.
Like, God is not mad.
Yeah.
Like, he smiles on this.
Because when we're dating, we're not listening to church music.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that we're not operating in that spiritual space and have a relationship with God and we're called. It doesn't mean that. That just means during this time, we're listening to love music or something that's speaking to our relationship.
Listen, have you, I probably should say this on your show, but I'm probably going to listen to John P. Key at church.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop John P. Key.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably going to listen to Bishop John Legend. I'm with my wife. Bishop. Ordinary people.
Right. Okay, so let's go back to the thorn again before we slow down. Okay, because you mentioned that at the beginning of you guys' relationship, there were many thorns that he gave in so many words. Like, how do you rebuild after
we?
Okay, yeah. Oh. But
she said he.
Well, let me say this. Let me ask you this. For anybody relationship, though, like, how do you rebuild trust after, whether it's from words or let's say, I don't know, it could be a plethora of many things, but if somebody's deeply wounded, you also gave context to, I have to take myself to understand where he is now and realize that wasn't the person, like, we're not talking about 10 years ago, Don, we're talking about right now, Don. So how is it that somebody can rebuild trust again, through words or deeper wounds? What does that look like for both people so that you could come out on the other side and not revisit those trauma places?
And sometimes it still comes up, but you have to know what to say to it. So for me, it was definitely saying to him, like, I want to hear and receive a heartfelt apology. Not that you didn't say it before, because you probably apologized 50 million times. But maybe I wasn't in the space to hear that because I was still so bothered by it. So being able to hear that apology that he said again and just receive that as, okay, he meant that. All right. He didn't mean to hurt you when he said or when he did. Okay. Got it. Hold on to that. If anything else happens that looks like what he did, hold on to the fact that he didn't mean to do or say whatever it is he did. And then his actions of being intentional about doing opposite of whatever that thing was, because then that to me gave me, I don't even want to say a balance, because at some point it then washed out whatever that thing was. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. I probably, for me, so it'd be kind of twofold. I think anytime you're talking about regaining trust, before you can regain trust, there had to be an act of forgiveness.
For sure.
So I would probably tell the person that got offended, forgive. Forgive quickly, because forgiveness is not for them. It's for you. I think so many times we think giving forgiveness away benefits the other person. It really doesn't. Forgiveness benefits you. It's like drinking poison and waiting for the next person to die. Because the most...
I'm glad you said forgive quickly, because when we are holding on to unforgiveness, it's so easy for so many other things to come up.
Yeah.
And you see it, and it's like, and that's something else, that's something else, and that thing to it. Yeah. And it just keeps adding.
Become more toxic.
Yeah.
Become more toxic. Yeah. Now, but that doesn't excuse the other person.
Right.
Because forgiveness is up to me. Trust is up to you.
Mm-hmm. So you can't be reviewing certain things.
We can't keep
adding fuel to the fire.
So
we can't keep down the same action.
And you have to be accountable of the, okay, you know what? Okay, I did this. I did whatever that thing is. Whether it's accidental, I've told people a million times, whether it was accident or intentional, the accident still happened.
I did it, right.
Let's address it. Okay, this happened. Oh, I didn't mean to say it. When there was a conversation, I didn't mean to talk that way. Okay, well, let's talk about what were you trying to say? So in other words, it's not, don't just say it again. Let's coach you on how to say what you want to say. Because what you may want to say was really important. It just came out wrong. Because by the time you finish cussing and doing all that, what you really wanted to say was, I'm hurt and I'm vulnerable. Okay, well then let's talk about that as opposed to spitting out venom. So now I got to retrain the truster. Okay, you got to learn how to talk different. You got to learn how to think different. You got to learn how to see things different. But all of that is a part of the thorn.
Yeah.
And regaining trust. So even if I mess up, I'm like, oh snap, I messed up. My bad.
I'm glad you said it.
My bad.
Because a huge part of it for me, as I sit here just thinking even more, was him being accountable.
Yeah, like, oh, shoot.
Because if I say that you did X, Y, Z to me, But then you act as if you did not do that, or you say, oh, no, that's just the way you saw it. That's the way you thought about it. I didn't really do that. That was just one more thing that added to the list of things. But the reality was, when you would say what you just said, you know, oh, I didn't mean to do X, Y, Z.
And we had those discussions. Like, if I said it and I didn't mean to say it or it came across wrong, so yeah, because it sounded like, oh, wait a minute, hold on. Okay, so tell me what you heard when I said it.
Right. Yeah.
So now I know, like, okay, so if I say it this way, okay, look, prime example, my wife would never, and I probably can say never, would never come to me and say, can I talk to you for a minute?
No.
That's a trigger for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if she even say, hey, I got $1 million to give you. Yeah. When she said, can I talk to you for a minute? I'm strictly in the defense mode.
And I didn't know that that was something I had to learn. Because I'm wondering why.
Yeah.
Why did the atmosphere just change? Because
you studied him.
And I. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, don't say that. Just come and say it. Just, hey, I want to.
Start talking.
Just start talking. Because if you give me the mindset, can I talk to you for a minute? I'm calculating in my head, did I do something? What did I do? And I'm not telling you that's right. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you the thinking part of
that should be in a defensive mode.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Is that healthy?
No.
No.
Not at all. Okay. Not at all. Because I'm going to miss the productive part of what she's going to say because I'm too busy in my head gone.
Yeah.
I'm gone. If she can say, hey, somebody just gave us seed offering. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, it's going to take me a minute to get back. And I'm telling you that's not healthy. Yeah. So, but I know it's a trigger.
Yeah.
And trigger that's not transformed will be transferred.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to know.
Triggers that's not transformed.
Triggers that is not transformed.
Will be transferred.
Yes.
Yeah.
I heard it.
Yes.
Would be transferred. I would get that sex right.
This man don't have no tattoos.
That's what he said. I've never had a tattoo in my life.
But it's understanding that trigger. If I'm reading, and again, I'm trying to plug people, but I'm reading a very interesting book.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been listening to the different podcasts, how they talk about the book. And the book deals really, really with how people think. So I've been on this whole, like, year hiatus on thinking. Like, everything focused on your thinking. I don't know who you are. Your money-making decisions, making sound decisions, making good investments, relationships. It's all about how you think. We're too busy trying to change people's behavior.
Right.
I don't want to change your behavior.
Right. I want to change.
If I can change how you think,
right,
your behavior will change.
Come on.
How do you think? So I've been
thinking.
How do I think about
it? Where did it come from? It comes from your frame of references.
It somewhere.
It does.
It comes from your frame of references, how you were designed, mm-hmm, that brought in this world, mm-hmm, and everything around you that cultivates who you are.
Yeah.
Maybe when you come into alignment with somebody else that is adverse to that,
mm-hmm,
or even healthy.
It doesn't matter.
Your triggers,
yes,
that are transformed,
if you translate,
will be transferred.
There's a scripture that says we were born in sin,
mm-hmm,
and shaped in iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
So we're born in sin.
Yeah.
That's an act of what Eve did, what Adam did.
Absolutely.
That's birthed into that.
Yes.
But the iniquity that's shaped, experiences, culture, filters, trauma, helps shape our iniquity, how we think, mm-hmm, what we do, mm-hmm, why we act, we react. So there's a lot of times I'm like, Don, why did you react that way? I'm going to go all the way back. I have trauma from a little boy knowing why I was never accountable about it. Like, I can pinpoint it now.
Mm-hmm.
But it took a journey,
yeah,
of exposing, like, yo, my people did the best they could, but I can't use that for my future.
Right.
So I can't use the tools they gave me for the future that God is making for me.
Because it will weaponize.
Mm-hmm.
And it destroys everything. And I love them for raising me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I love my family. To this day, my core, I love them, but I can't use those tools for where he's taking me. Because that gives the enemy weapons. Yeah, and that's a hard, honest look of, hey, I got to think about this different.
And our weapons are not carnal.
But they're mighty through God from the pulling down of strongholds.
And it's so important to know that you're supposed to be connected to that person. Like, I'm along the journey with him.
Yeah.
I like to say enjoying the journey. But while he's maturing and figuring this out, because remember, we got together, we were kids. We met in ninth grade and then got together in college. But watching him go from a boy to a man, he's watching me go from a little girl to a woman, learning these things about us. And the effects that it may have, positive or negative, on our current state based off of what we, you know, came out of, how we were raised, just watching that transform. Are you willing to stay the journey with them as they become cultivated in God, into who God called them?
Absolutely.
There's a great passage of scripture that I want to use based off of relationships. It's in the book of Acts. Peter runs across this broke man at the gate called Beautiful. He says, "Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give thee. Take up my hand, rise up and walk." Now, the Bible says that the man is looking on Peter as he's coming. Mm-hmm. Peter says, "Look on me." There's no reason for him to tell the man, "Look on me," because the man was already watching him. Mm-hmm. The word "look on me" literally means I'm a model of what you're getting ready to do.
Mm, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick you up from where you are. That's been our goal in marriages. Hey, yeah. Look on us. Yeah. We're getting ready to show you you can do something that you've never done before. I'm getting ready to model. So every mentor needs to have a model.
Absolutely.
Don't tell me you can teach me how to be rich. The only way you're rich is by the book you're selling. I want to know the pattern behind it. So if you're going to lift me up, okay, well, let me show you how to lift you up. Here's where we started. Decade one, decade two, decade three. You can rise up. You don't have to stay here and keep begging for alms. No, such as I have, I give to you. The McDonald's.
Amen. I love that. I love that so much. Okay, so this was such a great, great, great episode. It was full of so much wisdom and so much insight. Well, as we leave out, I just want to ask you guys one question, and I want you to fill in the blank.
Okay.
Marriages do not fail because of blank. Marriages fail because of blank.
Mm. Marriages do not fail because of the lack of information. Marriages fail because of the lack of application.
Oh, girl, I'm dead. Okay. She's listening.
I ain't got nothing to add to that.
And that was quick with it.
Nothing to add to that. That was so good. My brain was thinking like,
read it one last time. Ooh. Marriages do not fail because of the lack of information. They fail because of the lack of application. It's so much knowledge out here. You can't say that you don't know what to do. Mm. Whether you read it, search it, it's in a book, you see it on a video, you watch another relationship. So you have observed at some point somewhere what to do. Mm. But now you have a choice of whether you're going to do it or not. Because I can tell you talk to him nicely. I can tell you say, "Bae." You can watch me say, "Bae." But then you got to sit back and say, "Now, am I going to say, or am I going to say that joke over there he always be?"
That's it.
You clearly couldn't want me to say nothing after that
one. Nah, that was good. That was a mic drop for the audience. That was a mic drop. Pastor Darren and Lady Phaedra, it's definitely been a pleasure. I appreciate you guys so much. Tell the people where they can find you guys.
Oh, my God. MarriageKeys.net. You can join our Marriage Keys Circle if your marriage is having issues. You got our Marriage Keys Circle, part of our community. Our book, 21 Keys for a Better Marriage.
So on our website or Amazon or Books A Million, Barnes & Noble.
That's Don J.
And Lady Phaedra
Johnson. No, it's not just Phaedra C. Johnson.
Put the tags below, guys.
Find us at the Potter's House. I mean,
you can find them at the Potter's House. You can find them at the Potter's House. So I'll be sure to put all of you guys' information and tags below so that people can follow you guys, but also get the marriage keys. All right, guys, I want to thank you so much for being present in this conversation. Make sure you guys like, subscribe, and join. Listen, there's so much wisdom that's always given out on this podcast, and I'm super, super grateful that you guys joined this conversation today. My name is Jessica Lane, and as always, stay initiated.